As you are able, please rise in body or in spirit for the reading of the Gospel. The Gospel reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Good evening. Glad you all could make it out on this Holy Maundy Thursday evening, and I'm sure you all are curious why you have things in your hand, and I will tell you all about it in a few minutes. I wanted to ask you one question tonight, a very important question. Do you have your taxes done? Some of you are saying, so this being Holy Week, you'd think Pastor Matt would have his taxes done, wouldn't you? But he doesn't. And I'm a little busy this week. And there's a reason I don't have my taxes done, because I actually tried to file my taxes. About a week ago, I tried to file my taxes, and I'm big on the technology. I e-filed my taxes and got rejected. So I go to this thing on the IRS website. You have to copy this code in there so that it will tell you what you did wrong. You know, they can't just tell you in the email what you did wrong. They have to. So I put the code in. I found out what was wrong. I went in and corrected it. I sent it again. Got rejected. Put the code in. I discovered that one of my daughters had filed her taxes. Uh-huh. And claimed that nobody else could claim her as a dependent. Talk about sin. Let's talk about sin tonight. So, this is one of those moments as a dad where you bite your tongue. You give grace, right? As much as there was a part of me that wanted to straighten her out, I didn't do that. And I had one night free this week. It was Tuesday night. And you know what my daughter and I did on Tuesday night? We amended her return together. We had a lesson on how to file taxes appropriately, because the last time I checked, I paid her tuition bill. That's what I realized. And I wanted that education credit. So can I get a witness here? Does anybody else get it? Yeah, all right. But why I say that is because sometimes only as a parent do I choose love. I wish I chose love for everybody all the time, but for my kids, I made a choice with her. I made a choice to love her despite a mistake. I made a choice to love her, and that's what love does. Love is a choice. That I didn't feel like doing that, right? I didn't feel like helping her with her taxes. I didn't feel good about what was happening, but I made a choice to love her. And I think that's exactly what we see from Jesus tonight in this passage in Gospel of John, because I love what John says here, and I love the way that John put it. He says, he had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. Another translation says, he loved them to the very limit of love. And I love the way that the gospel writer puts it that way. That right before he washes the disciples' feet, right before he goes to the cross, right before they have the Last Supper, John says, this is Jesus loving to the end. He chose to love them. And I want you to know that the reason, I think, part of the reason it says he loved them to the end is because when he gathered and he washed the disciples' feet, he washed 12 pairs of disciples' feet, including Judas. The one who said to us, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, was loving Judas, was choosing to love Judas. I can only imagine that Jesus didn't feel like loving Judas because he knew what Judas was going to do, and yet he loved them. He chose love in that moment. I think that's a great testimony not only to Christ, but I think to God's love for us, that God chooses to love us even when we make mistakes. That God chooses to still love us even when it doesn't feel good, when it doesn't feel right, even when God is upset with us, God still chooses love. And you and I are called to do the same. And we see that in Jesus, and we see that in the foot washing of Judas, that Jesus would get down on his hands and knees as a servant and not as any servant, because even Jewish servants weren't allowed to wash feet. Only Gentile, only servants of other nations were allowed to wash feet. The Jewish people believed they were not allowed to do that. And so here a Jewish rabbi washes the feet of Judas. But it also shows us this, that even though Jesus did that for Judas, Judas still didn't love him back. That even though this outward expression of love was given to Judas, it didn't change his heart. And that's the cost of love. That sometimes we can choose love and it will cost us. But that doesn't stop Jesus from choosing it. That sometimes there is a cost to love. And that's exactly what Jesus is expressing. And I think it's important for us to understand that, because as we come tonight, we come to the cross tonight, as we come with our mistakes. We come with our sins. We come with our faults. And yet Jesus loves us still to the very end, to the limit, as far as Jesus can go with us. And then there's Peter. Peter comes to Jesus and in a very honorable, good-hearted way, and he says, you're not going to wash me, Jesus, because you're the rabbi, you're the master, you're the teacher. This is not right for you to do this. And so he appropriately, in his cultural understanding, says to Jesus, you're not going to do this for me. I'm not going to allow it. And so, you know, that this isn't going to happen. But he always forgets who he's talking to. Did you ever notice that about Peter? And so Jesus' reply is, unless I wash you, you can't be clean, Peter. In fact, he says, you won't have a share with me, a part with me. Now, for you and I, doesn't matter to us. But to Peter, here's what Peter heard. Oh, I won't have a share in the new kingdom that Jesus is going to bring to the planet. So I want to have an inheritance with Jesus. If Jesus takes the throne, I want to be a part of that, is what Peter is understanding. And so Peter says, well, then you better wash my hands and wash my head, wash all of me. I want as much of the kingdom as I can get. You know, he's still thinking earthly kingdom. So Jesus says that to him. You don't really understand what's going on here, but one day you will. what Jesus was saying to him is, unless I wash you, you cannot be clean. Heart clean. Unless Jesus washes us, our hearts cannot be clean. And it's a heart issue. We see that with Judas. It was a heart issue. And so Jesus is saying that I will cleanse your heart, Peter. I will cleanse you from all your sin, which is a great thing that Jesus does. Now, I wonder, though, if sometimes you and I are like Peter. In fact, I know I'm like Peter. Where Jesus says, or some pastor gets up on Monday, Thursday and says, you know, you've got sin in your life. Why don't you bring it to Jesus and be cleansed? Not me. I don't need that. I don't need Jesus to wash me. I'm pretty good. I got it all together. I don't have really any bad sin in my life. I don't really have anything sinful in my life. And so I'm pretty good. There's nothing I really need to do here. So Jesus, you know, keep washing somebody else. Have you ever thought that? Like, well, I'm not so bad. I don't need to be cleansed. I have. In fact, I was in a preaching class at Wesley Seminary in Washington, D.C. on Monday nights. And one of the students preached a sermon. And at the very beginning of his sermon, he said, 53. Oh, that's interesting. 53, all right. Said, that's how many shirts I have hanging in my closet. This was a sermon on simplicity. And then he said, 25. And he said, that's how many shirts I have folded in my drawers. Yeah, I had the same reaction you had. And then he said, 78's my number. 78 shirts. I have 78 shirts that I own. 78 shirts that some of which I never wear. And he went on about this. And I'm sitting in my seat saying, this guy's got a problem. I'm sitting in my seat going, he's a hoarder. Yeah. And I'm thinking all the sermons I could preach, you know, about not storing up in barns and all these things and how we're not being generous, blah, 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 blah. I've got it going. Was that your reaction just now when I said that? Come on, be honest. We're here to confess. So, you know, I had this thought. I'm going to go home. I told you it's confession, right? This is a confession. Is it safe here for me to share this? So I went home and I counted my shirts. Not 78. It's worse. Remember, he's only in his 20s and I'm getting up there. I have shirts older than him. But I went into my closet and I found all my long sleeve shirts and I counted them. And I went and I found all my short sleeve shirts that I'd put in another closet because it wasn't quite spring yet. And I counted them. 60 shirts. That's just the button up kind. I went into my drawer. I have 15 golf shirts, 5 of which are from Glenmore golf tournaments, by the way. 5 of those 15. I then realized I also have t-shirts in my closet, so I went and counted those t-shirts, and when I counted those sorry, I got to pull out my glasses, read all these numbers. So I looked at those t-shirts, and I had between the ones in my closet, and then I realized, oh, I have a bin of t-shirts in my basement. And so I went and I got the bin of t-shirts, and I opened that up. You know, it's got my old U2 Joshua Tree Tour t-shirt, my old mission t-shirts from mission trips 20 years ago. I have 34 t-shirts in storage that I never wear. Slacker, right. So, my number, if you're doing the math, is 134. I have 134 shirts. And I realized today that I still have a few more I didn't count. So now you think I've got a problem. Because isn't that the way we work? Isn't it always easier to see somebody else has a problem and neglect to see the sin in our own lives? Isn't it so easy to say to Jesus, not me? See, that's exactly what I did. I say, not me, Jesus. And then I think, oh yeah, you, Matt. That's exactly what God said to me this week. He said, oh yeah, you too, Matt. You, the pastor of Glenmar United Methodist Church, have things to confess. I'm going to just give you an opportunity to confess tonight. We gave you a piece of slate and a piece of chalk. And I'm going to ask you to write something on this piece of slate, but not yet. I want to give you some time to think about it. But I'm actually going to ask you to write down a confession, not necessarily write out a prayer, but I'm going to ask you to write a sin on this piece, your own, whatever it is. But I want to give you some ideas of what they might be. Because it may not be 134 shirts. Maybe something else. It may be tools. It may be shoes. It may be something altogether different. Because Henry Fairley wrote a book called The Seven Deadly Sins. And in that book, he said that these seven sins, these seven desires, are really the root of all sin. And all our other sins are probably connected to one of these seven desires. And he said the very first sin that is the root of all sin is the sin of pride. So maybe for you, it's pride. Pride is that part of you that says, I am a person unto myself. I don't need anybody else. I am self-sufficient. I will do things my way. I will do things the way I want to do them, and I don't need anybody else to tell me what to do. In fact, I don't even need a pastor to tell me that I sin. So that's pride. Do you know that narcissism over the past 20 years in the United States has grown to 30% from 12% of the population to 30% of the population in 20 years? Narcissism, which says me, right? It's all about me. I wonder why that is. Or how the other second sin that he brings up is envy. Now, envy is based on the assumption that we deserve to be able to do and experience and enjoy what everybody else is doing and experiencing and enjoying. And when we aren't able to do what everybody else is doing, then we feel envy, jealousy. And so we think life is unfair. You know, we go on Facebook and somebody's taking a cruise in January and we go, that's not fair. I want to be able to take a cruise in January. See what I'm saying, right? That's envy. That's jealousy. What about anger? Anger is an outburst or sometimes an inburst of emotion. Sometimes some of us, we just blow it out. We let it off. But some of us shove it in. And it leaks out in passive-aggressive ways. And so that emotion of anger, that desire to get even with someone else, to get revenge, to get yours, to equal and level the playing field, that's anger. Or what about sloth? We don't often think about sloth. It's not an animal. It is an animal, but not in this case. Sloth is idleness. No purpose. Just being idle and going through every day without any real good purpose. And it really is something that just kind of, we don't think of ever doing anything good. We just actually begin to give up on never doing anything good or serving because we're idle, because we're slothful. Then there's avarice. I love the way he defines avarice. Avarice is, he says, it's disquietude at the loss of wealth. Disquietude at the loss of wealth. It's the fear of losing what we have. It's the fear of going from 134 shirts to 100 shirts. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But don't we worry about losing our wealth? That's avarice. By the way, there's a grocery bag full of shirts going to Goodwill this week. That's called repentance. That's another sermon. but avarice. How about these last two? These last two are the desires that are built into all of us. And they're the two strongest desires in the human condition. Hunger and lust. Gluttony. Gluttony is going and consuming and gratifying yourself without ever being in community with everybody else around the table. Being more concerned about satisfying your hunger than actually being in relationship with the others around you. It's all about the food, the menu, rather than being with people. Gluttony takes over our lives. And then lust. See, lust is more interested in the activity, the sexual activity more than intimacy. Lust is just seeking self-gratification rather than experiencing intimacy and being with the other. Notice that these pieces of slate are broken. There's a reason for that. And the reason is that every one of these sins breaks relationship. It breaks my relationship to God and sometimes breaks my relationship to other people. And so this symbolizes my brokenness. My sin is my brokenness. And so how have you broken relationship with God or with someone else? As I go through the list, has your pride broken relationship? Has your anger broken relationship somewhere? Has your avarice, your greed broken relationship? Have you ever argued about money? Has lust broken a relationship? Has idleness kept you from really going out and being with other people? Has gluttony made you ignore other people because you're satisfying yourself? What is it that's broken your relationships? That's your sin. That's your brokenness. So I want you to take a moment, now that you've had some time to think, and I'm going to have you just go ahead and write down one sin, two sins, three sins, whatever it is that God's put on your heart tonight that you need to confess on this piece of slate. And then as you think about that, I want you to know what I'm going to ask you to do with it. That's important too. You don't have to put your name on it unless you want to. But we're actually going to place these at the cross out on the hill here tonight. So at the end of this service, the altar is going to be stripped after communion, and I'm going to ask you to hold on to these rest of the service. And so you can actually take the rest of the service to decide what to write on it, but I want to give you a chance to unburden yourself from this brokenness. So at the end of this service, I'm going to invite you at the end, we won't have a benediction, that you will just quietly take this to the cross and leave it at the foot of that cross. And if you have mobility issues, don't feel like you're able to make it across the grass and up and over curbs, and there's some uneven spots in the ground out there, if you don't feel confident in that, just put it in the basket here at the foot of this cross, and I will carry it out there for you. So if you don't feel like you can make it all the way out, just drop it right here. We'll take it up there for you and place it there for you. And then we'll wait for the grace of God's rain to come and wash it away. Because after the rain comes, anything you wrote will be gone. And we're going to just leave those up there the rest of the year as a part of what we have up there. So as we go through this service tonight, I encourage you to pray about, reflect on, what is it that you want to let go of? What is it that you want to unburden yourself with tonight? Because Jesus is willing to take it from you. Jesus loves you to the limit and will continue to love you whether you do this or not. But Jesus loves you to the limit. Amen.